town you never heard of.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Common Folk Podcast with Ben, Morgan, and Andy.
Welcome back to Common Folk,
the podcast for the people, by the people.
Andy's on it today.
Oh, yes, sir.
That was powerful.
Mm-hmm. Birgit on the intro. We don't talk about him enough.
We don't. And he's got a new family member, right? Like his family's expanding.
Yeah, oh, he had a baby.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Oh, I
yeah.
thought you meant he's having another one. I was like, oh, that's news
yeah,
to me.
No, no. No, recently he had a baby. Yeah. Yeah. Folks should follow him on all the socials. Eric Birgit. Burgett, Eric Birgit Music, whatever. Just look it up. You'll find him. He's super active on social media.
And he's really good at it. And it reminds me a lot of the artists that I like to follow nowadays where he's doing it all. Like,
right,
like well, who edited that music video for you? He's like, well, me and my wife. Yeah. What? You did it all? Like, oh yeah. Well, yeah, that's our camera.
He's a hard worker, man.
He is.
Farm kid, Illinois farm kid. There's a reason why he works so hard.
Yep. And Spotify actually did a thing where they noticed I was listening to him. So they made me a Birgit channel.
Nice.
And it's like really good.
Yeah.
Like really?
It'll play like 2-1, two songs of somebody else similar.
Yeah.
And then back to him. So it's pretty good stuff.
Huh.
Good dude. Check him out. We appreciate him putting together that intro for us. Oh, snap.
There we go.
What you got going on over there?
A little silver bullet, right?
I'm just glad we don't have the cameras on today because let me check me one too.
Okay, yeah, but it looks like you have something else going on here.
No, I mean I got my silver bullet here.
No.
I'm so confused.
Now Morgan's called you out on this a couple of times.
I was planning on the cameras being on today, so
yeah,
I didn't want the cameras to see what I actually had going on here.
Well Morgan, you wanna let the masses in on what's happening here? Like I figured since you knew the cameras weren't on, you put this ploy into place.
Right. Yeah. He just opened his Coors Light.
I don't know if you can hear this.
Dumped it in a cup and now opened a White Claw.
Hold up.
One of your White Claws.
And is putting it in the Coors Light can. I'm still so confused why the hell you're doing that.
You know,
just drink the fucking can.
Totally an identity crisis going on.
Yeah, I mean, he doesn't like tall and skinny, I guess.
Well.
He just likes short and squatty?
No, he doesn't drink seltzers, right? He only drinks beer.
I mean,
so,
fit perfect.
Says so, Ben.
So now he at least puts the... I mean, he's holding onto a beer can, and he's drinking alcohol out of a Coors Light can.
It looks like water coming out of
all
it.
All I'm having over here is a little Coors Light.
Okay. Yep, liar.
Well, yeah, everybody listening, they didn't see anything go down. So,
no.
Yeah, all right.
Okay.
Just going to taste a little... I wonder what that tastes like with that backwash in there, the residue of...
It all goes to the same place, so
well,
mixes
dub,
together. Yeah,
but what does it taste like on your tongue? Good. Does it taste like purple berry?
It tastes like Coors Light.
Okay,
looks like. I mean, it looks like Coors Light to me, but
yeah.
A popular drink that we would always kind of fall back on, like maybe a Sunday fun day.
Uh huh.
And this is like college days. Remember Boone's Farm, the cheap bottle of wine, like a $3 bottle of wine?
I remember
they still
that
have that.
Very well.
That's always a conversation I love having. They still make that stuff? Yep. You got to look for it, but it's out
there.
Drink half your beer, then fill the other half with Boone's Farm. It's called the train wreck.
Oh.
And the two flavors like complement each other so well. You're just like drinking this lightly flavored water. There's no bite, no aftertaste, no nothing. So, I mean, you're about... I don't know, 10 bottles in, 10 bottles in. You're like, let's get another one.
Did you ever go to the bathroom then and look at your poop? Because it was literally the color of the Boone's Farm you drank.
Whoa.
Did you not ever know that?
I did not know that.
Yes. It would be like purplish, greenish.
Yeah, I can tell you about that.
Pink, I swear.
I mean, I believe you. I'm not going to argue.
I mean, I'm sure Ashley would try it out.
When we got married, it was, early 2000s? So Boone's Farm was
yeah,
a thing then, yes, for yes, sure.
Yep.
You know, it's kind of like the Zimas or the
right, yes,
or whatever, like all those, yeah, all those drinks of the time.
Two Dogs, remember Two Dogs?
Kinda.
Yeah, that was like in a green bottle, and it was like a lemonade. It was a precursor, okay, to Mike's Hard Lemonade.
There you go.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So we were getting married down in Nebraska City, and me and all the boys who were in the wedding party,
mm-hmm,
there was a local liquor store, of course.
Mm-hmm.
So we cruised over there in the truck. Like, we're all, I mean, we're like, we had our stuff on, like our tuxes and all the things.
Yeah, yeah.
Riding in the back of the pickup truck,
mm-hmm,
from the hotel to the liquor store, picked up like 8 bottles of Boone's Farm.
There we go.
Came back to the hotel. The girls were in a separate room doing the girl thing. We go walking over there. Oh, you can't see her right now. You know, they're freaking out. Sure, we're handling sure, bottles of Boone's Farm. We go over to our room. We're shooting bottles of Boone's Farm, and then it was go time.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. I'd never heard this story.
Boone's, your girls were drinking it.
Yeah.
I didn't know. I was like tunnel vision.
Nice. Well, very good. So, Ben and Morgan, brought to you by Boone's Farm.
Boone's Farm.
Right. And not White Claw, because I don't drink that stuff.
We should probably find some Boone's.
Yes.
I wonder if it's still $3. It's going to be like $6 now.
Little anniversary. Probably. Inflation's everywhere.
Oh, yeah, for sure. So what are we going to do? Just sit around and shoot the shit here today or what?
Well, we just completed our tour. We've been talking about it, you know, taking the show on the road.
Yeah, we're so popular.
And I just thought it was a blast, which, you know, we were getting back up in my stomping grounds.
Mm-hmm.
O'Neill, just outside of Bristow there on TNS Farms. And then, of course, the Lynch revived grocery store now is a corporation, mm-hmm, or a cooperative.
Yeah.
You know, I just thought those were all fascinating stories. There was a lot of things that went into it and a lot of innovation. Like, you could call it entrepreneurship, but, you know, that's still a relatively new term. All it really is getting it done.
Mm-hmm.
Just getting it, whether you're talking about the Handle Bend guys, the supermarket in small town Lynch. It's, you know, we create all these fancy terms. And really, it's just getting the job done. That's what it boiled down to.
Seeing a need or seeing an opportunity and, mm-hmm, just figuring out a way to make it happen.
Yeah.
Rather than talking about it.
Yeah. People want or need or both a grocery store in town. So, mm-hmm, okay, how are we going to figure this out? I mean, when we're listening to David Barnes kind of go through that process and every hurdle that they had to like get over, you know, they could have just gave it up and shipped it in at any point.
For sure.
But not only that, I thought he kept referring to the three pillars that had to happen. He's like, there's, mm-hmm, three big obstacles, and I didn't think we were going to get by one of them.
Mm-hmm.
And certain things happened, mm-hmm, along the way that allowed for it. I'm getting goosebumps right now thinking about it because, like, I don't know. You put out an effort, and, like, the universe rewards that effort. That's, mm-hmm, what I kept thinking when, yeah, he was talking about it. Like, and then this money came in, and then these people donated that, and then this government official said, well, if you actually apply for this license versus that, that opened a door for us. Like, mm-hmm, it was just amazing how, yeah, everything just lined up,
right,
you know, the way it needed to.
For sure. Well, let's organize our thoughts a little bit. So to put a timeline on it, if you're listening to this episode, then the previous three,
mm-hmm,
would have been what we were doing on the road. So Handle Bend, the grocery store co-op in Lynch, and then
TNS Farms.
TNS. T-N-S or T-and-S. They have it both ways, Farms.
Tanner and Sherry.
Yep.
Yep.
Down there just outside of Lynch as well. I can't remember what they said the name of their closest town was.
Bristow.
Okay. Yep. So those three episodes, which were awesome. And as you said, we traveled up there. We spent the weekend. And then on top of that, while we were there, did the dam race in Crofton.
Mm-hmm. Triathlon.
Yep.
You're a triathlete now.
Well,
how do you feel?
I'm a third of a triathlete.
Oh yeah, a third.
And I think we'll probably have a recap with them, but you could rewind not too long ago
with
Heidi Marsh, our episode with her on, mm-hmm, the Crofton Dam race.
Yep.
So all the pre-stories have been told, mm-hmm, up until this point. So today what we're doing is we're just recapping a little bit of behind the scenes.
Yeah.
What was it like when we were there? What were some things that were going on that folks maybe didn't get to hear in the more polished part of the recording,
sure,
that we had going on, you know, yeah, that kind of thing. So we're just going to put a little perspective on it and talk about each one of those.
No, I thought it was fantastic how the weekend played itself out, and we started Thursday night in O'Neill, Nebraska, the mm-hmm. Irish capital of Nebraska. And there's no arguing that, mm-hmm. according to mm-hmm. the Anna Menville.
I mean, and again, to the concrete out there. There's just...
That's pretty cool. But they're another story of perseverance or just figuring it out. Mm-hmm. Like, enough people wanted those copper mugs, so they figured out a way to produce them.
Yeah.
And scale it up and make it happen. And then just more and more positive things came from that, to where they're able to buy a historic building. I mean, everybody you talk to in like the Tri-County area has a story of when they stopped at that implement, that dealership.
Sure.
Back when it was Shell Hammers. Mm-hmm. I mean, you just can't get around it. It's one of those iconic places. And now it's serving a whole nother generation on a whole nother front, but they're like paying homage to it.
Yeah.
You know, it's really cool how they're able to bring that all together.
I think to give a little behind the scenes of that one, like you said, that's where we went first. So that's where we drove straight to. You know, it was about 4 hours from our place.
Mm-hmm.
You had your kids in tow. You guys were trying to figure out, you and your wife were trying to figure out what to do with them.
We had to backtrack a little bit. We had to run all the way up to lunch, right. Then back down to right. the meal. Yeah.
So we're talking on the way up there. We're supposed to be there at, what time did we say? Five?
5 o'clock. Because they said they had to leave by 7.
Yeah. So we had previously talked about, we're going to start no later than 5, right? Mm-hmm. So we show up there, I don't know, it was like 4:45 yeah. or something like that. You know, we walk in the place, we park right out front on the street.
Mm-hmm.
We walk in the place. First thing we do is walk up to the bar. You know, the bartender's up there,
yeah.
which it's a coffee bar, it's a drink bar, it's beers, it's spirits, mm-hmm. it's all the things. We order a couple of drinks. I think I had got a local beer that was on tap.
And Morgan, I got a yummy mule.
Yeah, some kind of mule. I don't remember which one you got. It was like was it that mango?
Yeah, one? It was like mango cart, they called
actually
it.
Actually got that one
yeah.
too.
Yeah. So
yeah.
good.
Yeah, really good.
Yeah, and of course they served in their handmade copper mugs.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
then Michael comes up because he was actually talking to another group. He recognizes us. Hey guys, what's going on? You know, and... Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, what's up, buddy? And we start chatting, and then we're like, "Well, we're waiting on Andy. You know, it's all good." And well, why don't we go back and get set up? So we go back and get set up. We're texting Andy. We're like, "Where the hell are you, man? What's going on?"
Andy, they need to start. Are you coming or are you not?
And I mean, I was humming that I had that needle buried. You know, when it goes around and it starts going back, yeah. I was going about 5 miles per hour at
right,
that point.
Right, sure, yeah, yeah.
He's like, "Oh, we're coming."
So yeah. the handle bend guys, you know, I mean, they're no different than any of the rest of us. Yeah. I mean, they have wife, they have kids, they have regular yep. lives. So they're super cool dudes doing mm-hmm. really cool stuff. But they're like, yeah, we got to go home
yeah,
tonight.
We got stuff to do.
Yeah, because it was like, what was it,
family
Thursday?
Family was in town. They had some family in town
yes,
or something.
That came yeah. from out of town. Yeah.
yeah.
yeah,
yeah, yeah. yeah. But being the guys that they are, they were like, oh, no, it's all good. Let's hang out. So you and Ashley show up
mm-hmm.
Only half hour late or so, right?
Yeah, it was within the half an hour. Yeah. I mean, I was already on it.
Yeah, you rolled up and he was like coming in hot. Now she's like, "Where's the drinks?"
Yeah,
go to the bar.
By then we're a couple drinks deep with them. Yeah. We go back to their essentially it's like their what would you call that area?
It's the old unloading dock, basically.
But it's a meeting room.
But yeah, they had a really cool table
this
built
badass
table.
I mean, how big is it, like how many feet that, I mean,
oh geez, what would you say, 17? No, it's probably bigger than that.
I imagine feet. Somewhere in that range. I mean, it's
20
it's huge.
25 feet, like it's massive.
Yeah, but it's huge.
These awesome
and all custom made
mm-hmm. Huge planks of cottonwood, right?
It would be like one of those things where like if you bought it, it was probably 10 grand.
Yeah,
but they made it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
And these chairs were so comfy and they like swiveled and they were leather and
yeah,
it was just really cool. They had a bar back there. Yeah.
It's the place where all their employees go, where they have meetings.
Mm-hmm.
That video podcast has been released on our YouTube channel, so people can actually see it.
Good point.
True.
Yeah. Yep. So yeah. If you've only listened, yep. go to YouTube and you can watch and yep. kind of see that background and that scenario where mm-hmm. we're sitting. There's a bar in the background. There's a refrigerator, a yep. beer refrigerator there.
Oh, that refrigerator was just right.
Had the old school beers in it.
Yep.
PBR. We were drinking PBRs and
you had the banquet beer.
Yeah.
Yep. yeah.
No White Claws.
No White Claws, not at all. Nope.
Not even in sight.
I don't even know why you would have one there.
Right. Right. Exactly.
Why would anybody drink those?
Who does that?
100%. Yeah. so.
Then we recorded. I mean, that was recording,
yep.
was it about an hour?
Yep. And then, somewhere in that range, yeah.
You know, then we got into, you know, then I was able to catch up to you guys. I had a couple of PBRs as well. And then afterwards, like the pressure was off, because then they're like, then they were in hangout mode. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yep.
And they were so cool and welcoming that Ashley just kind of facetiously said, hey, well, now do I get it? Because he showed us how he welds a mug.
So after the recording,
yeah.
So you and Ashley had not toured the facility yet.
Mm-hmm.
So after the recording, we go in the back room where they make everything.
Yeah.
And they start showing you how this works.
Yep.
So
they have all their copper pipes. Yep. Like everything.
And it wasn't Matt that was welding.
Michael was welding
it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And he goes, sit down, Ashley. Here we go.
Or I guess they called it brazing.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a very low heat. You know, you got to be quick.
So basically, these guys are using I think it's an oxyacetylene torch.
Mm-hmm.
I assume that's what the gas mix is. And heating up the copper. And then using copper rod and melting it into the seams, which I think they called brazing.
Okay.
We're not.
I don't know.
Yeah. Because Morgan originally had said something about it, like, oh, you're soldering these. And he was like, yeah, it's kind of like that, but it's technically called, I think it was brazing.
Brazing. Yeah. Yeah. And I would just say welding because I don't know any better. And but it is brazing.
Yeah.
Okay.
So he's like, we're going to show you how this is done. So he sits down, they pull up their jig, he sets one up there, he starts heating it up.
Laid a perfect bead.
The flames flying. We did a on the Common Folk Instagram page, and I think it was on Farm Focused and Stock and Rod as well. Mm-hmm. We put out a reel that showed the timeline from when we were there, and part of that video shows him putting that mug together. So that was pretty cool.
Yep.
Then he hands Ashley the torch, and I'm like, oh shit, she's been drinking.
Yeah.
Like, is this girl going to be able to do this? She mastered it.
She knocked it out. We just got the package and the crate and the whole nine yards a couple of days ago, and we've already had a couple of drinks out of it.
So they took the mug that she made.
Yep.
She also stamped it.
Yes. That was cool.
Would she put your last name on it?
Last
initials.
Name. Initials. And then the year that we got married.
Yeah.
So like an established in 2009 type thing.
So basically like the, I don't know what you call those things. They're like metal.
Like a punch almost.
A punch,
like,
exactly. Boom. That's what it is. Yeah. A punch with each letter, so you punch all the, you spell everything out on it or whatever.
Yep.
So, yeah, put all that together. So they shipped that to you, so you guys just got that.
Yeah, and Ashley didn't know about the packaging, you know, so she's like, what is this? I'm like, oh, and then all the kids are trying to figure it out, and with the little crowbar, you know, it really is. It makes it into an experience, something you just kind of take for granted. You get something from Amazon, and then you just open it up and use it.
Mm-hmm.
You get something from Handlebin. Now there's a process and there's a memory being made. Like they're so good at those little details, you know? And I think that's one of the things that makes Handlebin stand out.
The biggest thing that I took away from those guys was exactly that they're selling a copper mug, but what they're truly providing is an experience and an opportunity to basically have a good time, to sit around with folks that you enjoy sitting around with. Have a drink, enjoy the story, tell the story, whatever. Yeah. That's really what they're in the business of doing.
No doubt.
And they are so good at it.
Well, how easy was it talking with those guys? You know, I apologize, but I kept going off on, you know, random little stories because I knew, like, they knew Dana Day, the shop teacher. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, man, he's my shop teacher. So that was fun for me to, like, kind of find that common ground with those guys, and we could kind of go down that path, whether it was appropriate or not. I don't know.
No, it was great. Yeah, it was all part of the story.
I had so much fun there. I don't know. And then I just feel like afterwards, after the tour, then we kind of went back out front. They told us bye. They had to go. They always do like to stay and try to hang out, but they had, you know, like you said, family and stuff. And then we had another drink, and they said,
another thing I'll say about those guys, that arena is the merch. They understand cool stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, when you go to the Handlebin tap room or whatever, I guess whatever you would call it, Handlebin HQ, they have super cool hats, shirts, all the gear that goes along with the brand and has the lifestyle. So good on them. I think some of that stuff I assume is on the website. I don't know for a fact, but you can definitely get it locally. So if anybody is ever anywhere close to O'Neill, Nebraska,
gotta stop.
It's worth just pull in there.
Mm-hmm.
You won't miss Handlebin.
No.
It's one of the coolest buildings on the street.
It is cool. Yeah. It's big,
too. It's on the main drag there, right through town. And what would you say? One block and a half, 2 blocks away from the Shamrock.
The Shamrock, yeah.
I always say Clover, Shamrock, get it right.
After we finish there, after that, we go about a block down to some local hole-in-the-wall bar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
A couple, didn't good we
timing.
Hit two?
Good timing, right? Yeah. We went to Good Timing.
Is that what it was called, Good Timing?
I think so.
Well, we had the pizza at one, and then we went to another place. And
Nico's was...
That's what it was. That was the pizza place, yeah. Yep.
We had a really good pizza, unless we were just starving.
Well, so we walked in there, and it was like, I don't know, it was like almost 9 or something like that, wasn't it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And basically, the kitchen was closed.
And he was like, no,
and
we're closed.
And the old boy behind the bar, he was like, what can I get you guys? And we're like, pizza. Kitchen's still open? And he's like, I don't know. He looks back there, and he's like, well, what do you want? You know? And he was nice.
Yeah.
But we were like, I don't know. What do you suggest? And he's like, oh, this barbecue brisket pizza. And we're like, can you do that? And he's like, yeah, I'll do that for you.
It was awesome.
So they do. It was great.
Oh, we smashed it.
Yeah.
You know, everyone was hungry.
And it was huge.
Yeah. So we kill that. And then we go across the street from there.
Well, Andy says we have to go to...
That was the Good Time In place after
and
that.
And Andy's
right,
like, wait, we've got to go to this bar, right? And it's called Good Time In.
Yeah,
but why did we have to go there? It's just like an old bar.
That was truly the hole in the wall. Yeah. I think...
I'm like, that's Dive Bar USA.
Okay.
Like,
you cannot I thought get maybe a there was some story there.
Clear...
One of the things that sticks out to me, I think if people who, you know, around the U.S. or wherever they are, in any other country that are listening to this, when you think about your local bars... Mm-hmm. What I know here in the Midwest, or at least in Nebraska, as a dive bar, a local small dive bar, is when you walk in and there is literally only one path straight to the back. And in the back is the bathroom.
Yep.
And straight up the middle, you've got basically in the back of the bar, you might have a pool table, but you've got like some regular tables as you're moving your way towards the front of the bar.
Yep.
You've got some regular tables. And then you start get to the front where the bar is and some booths.
And everyone, when you walk in, stares at you.
Yeah, you walk in, everyone turns around, they're like...
And you feel so effing weird at both places. Everyone looked at us like, who are these
kids? But it's also... What's also cool about those places is that you get that.
Mm-hmm.
But then if you sit around long enough...
They're great, yeah.
Eventually, there'll be some conversation with one of these people.
Yeah.
And then you start realizing, like, you knew their cousin's sister from...
Oh, my God, yeah.
Yep. 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm. But did you not feel all the eyes on you at both places? Like, hard. We walk in, and it was like,
Who
are these?
Well, we're 4 out-of-towners. And in Dell, I kind of introduced myself, and like, oh, yeah, okay, yeah.
I mean, but they were good, even if, whatever, we sat down and
plus
had another drink.
All these local small-town places, you know, we go in there and spend $100 or whatever, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's awesome.
Yeah.
That's what these small businesses need. The small businesses in our towns need that too. You know, here where we live right here.
Yeah.
So it's cool. It's all good.
And I'm using the term dive bar like glowingly. Like,
for sure.
I love those places. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I love Good Timing.
I mean, did you see the picture that I took?
Yeah, the bathroom.
There were two potties
next
to each other with no partition. So like you could just... Girls want to go to the bathroom together. Like, we literally...
Two sit-down toilets right next to each other.
That's right.
Hey, that's just like Handlebin. That's like welcoming the conversation, helping the conversation happen, right?
I mean, I just had to take a picture afterwards. I was like, I've never seen this in my life.
Did you high-five anybody in there?
No, no one was in there, but it was like...
Oh, I thought you and Ashley went together.
No, I went by myself, but I was like, okay. just never seen that.
I thought that was a perfect way to kind of put a stamp on our... That Thursday night kind of kick off the weekend.
Yep.
So. Yeah. Then we went back and...
so we head out of there and we go back to...
Andy's hunting cabin.
Yeah. We go to his cabin. Yeah.
Yeah. So that was your first time on our ranch.
Yeah. I've never been there.
Yeah. And we gave you the... Not the full tour, but a pretty good tour.
Oh, my gosh. The next day, we had a huge tour.
Yeah. The side got you on the
side-by-side. Side-by-side with all them damn grasshoppers. I think
you and Kimber were a riot.
I think I gave Kimber a complex and PTSD about grasshoppers.
I think you did.
Guys, we're going through the bluffs. Is that what you call them? These hills.
Yep. Big, big, tall,
massive,
hills.
And just grasshoppers flying everywhere and they're coming in at us. I started it because one hit me and I don't like grasshoppers in general. I don't like jumpy things. I don't like frogs. Like, ugh, just. it just freaks me out. If I can get away, then that's fine.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
I'm contained in a ATV and I can't get out.
Yeah.
And I have this kid next to me. So I scream, she screams.
Yeah.
Then the next one comes and smacks her literally right in the face. And she's sobbing. And I heard it. Like, it cracked her cheek and her eye.
Me and Andy are in the front seat.
They're so annoyed at us.
The girls
in
the back, we're like, God, here we go.
I mean, you were screaming. Kimber was like crying. Like, she's only six. And
yeah.
I think that's part of being a parent. You have to make fun of your kids. Right?
I will take responsibility. I started it, and it freaked me out. And then one got on her arm, and then I was like, can you just go up with the guys? They could protect you. And you guys did.
That was
Ben
after
was swatting
was,
them away. And
that was after she was like just bawling her eyes out. I want to go home. Like, no, yeah. we're only a quarter mile into this fun little tour. We're
going to
get turning around now.
That's right.
So, but your property is amazing. Gosh.
Yeah, we cruised the property. It was awesome. We got to see, you know, what you guys do with, you know, your how you plan all of your hunting seasons and the basically, what's the word I'm looking for?
We were rotating our pastures, how we just moved, I don't know, it was about 40 head of cattle from one piece to the next piece.
Moving the cattle around, yeah. And yeah. What I'm thinking more of is like the conservation, the efforts that you guys put in.
Oh, like his watering thing and the thing he built?
I'm just saying, like, the efforts they put in up there for conservation in terms of creating an environment where, you know, the natural, the native grasses and everything can grow. The cattle can come in and eat those grasses and fertilize the ground, and everything cycles. And then on top of that, making sure there's habitat for wildlife.
Yeah.
Watching the wildlife. You know, I mean, you guys, how many, with Chasing the Dream and between you and Garrett, how many game cams do you have out there?
Oh, my God. Any given time, we could have a dozen to 15 to 20.
And so you've got that many game cams out there, and then you guys are monitoring these things and figuring out what animals are on the property, what animals are moving in, what animals are moving out, what do they look like, how are they growing, are we doing the right things, are we providing the right nutrition, you know, all this kind of stuff. So that's, to me, that's, you know, what we've talked about before in a lot of these hunting episodes, the definition of the conservation and the development.
Right, and how they can work hand in hand.
Right.
And I was explaining to you when, you know, I think you mentioned, like, well, there's a lot of good grass here. I'm like, well, yeah, there is, but it was time to rotate the cattle off, especially if this pasture's due for a burn. Like, you know, you burn in the fall or the winter, or early spring, you could say. And the regrowth is just phenomenal when you get a nice, good burn, but you need to have fuel. You need to have at least some standing grass still there in order for a burn to take place. A lot of these wildfires out west that are happening right now are because there's no, we stopped nature from doing, running its course and just allowing a natural fire to burn, you know, every spring or every other spring. So, okay, if we're going to do that, if we're going to, you know, basically shove bison out and bring cattle in, that's fine. That's unnatural. But now you got to account for that. And a real good way to do that is to do these burns every so often.
The controlled prescribed burn.
And it'll take care of a lot of your nuisances, like Eastern red cedars. Like, you probably saw some piece of ground where those are really taking over. On ours, too, you know, on the real hilly grounds. But doing those burns really helps with those invasive plant life, you know, as well.
It was cool, absolutely, to see how all that kind of comes together. And you guys are right there on the, was it the Ponca Creek?
Yeah.
So that's what you're right on. That's the waterway there.
And the Ponca kind of meanders back and forth between the Missouri River and the Niobrara River. And whichever way you go, it's only about 5 miles, 7 miles.
Oh, okay.
And it's really cool. We just had the University of Colorado on our ground last year, digging up, excavating pottery from the Ponca tribe.
Huh. Really?
So, oh, yeah. I could take you guys out there right now and we could go dig some up. Easy.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah.
That is so cool.
Garrett, when he goes out and does his stuff, you know, scouting for deers, it's not uncommon for him to come back with a piece of pottery or he found a primitive tool, like a leathering tool last time he was out.
Wow.
It was so cool. So cool. He knew it was something. He found it in the creek and he knew all right, this rock has been altered, or if it's a petrified piece of bone, it's been altered. So he got a hold of one of his guys, and he's like, oh, yeah, that's a – I couldn't tell you exactly what it is, but it was some type of a tool from a ancient Indian culture.
For folks who aren't, you know, from around here or understand the area, how would you describe where the location is? So for me, I'd say, okay, we're up in northeast Nebraska. Mm-hmm. But how would you describe it, like, in relation geographically to give folks an idea of where that is exactly?
Well, okay, so that ranch, our ranch is, as the crow flies, about 7 miles from the South Dakota border, from the Missouri River. And it's not like a lot of Nebraska ground in that there are big, large rolling hills.
Yeah.
And that's because we're in a valley, the Niobrara Valley, that sits in between the Niobrara River and the Missouri River. So it's heavy timbers, but that can give way to rolling prairies really fast. We're not in the sandhills yet, but the sandhills are about to start. So it's a very unique topography, terrain, and that's where I grew up. So all these people saying Nebraska's flat and boring, I was always confused by that. I'm like, no, it's not. Like,
come see my house.
But go down I-80 and I get where they're coming from.
For sure. Which is that's the corridor that most people are traveling.
Exactly.
So, get off the beaten path a little bit and find some cool stuff.
And in our next, couple legs here, you guys stayed at a state park. I mean, they're beautiful.
Oh, yeah.
Especially up there. It's one of the best kept secrets. And now I'm kind of letting the cat out of the bag, but you talk to people that stay at Niobrara State Park, Ponca State Park, and where you guys are at Crofton.
Yeah, we were at Lewis and Clark.
Lewis and Clark, which is north of Crofton, Nebraska. All three sit right in a row there on the Missouri River. You talk to people that go there every year, they're like, don't talk about it. Don't tell our friends from Omaha. Because they don't want those crowds. Yeah. They love just to go there and get away.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah.
So, man, we did that. We stayed the night there at your hunting cabin, and then the next day we – or the next morning, we go down into Lynch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that was a story that I really wanted to get into. Valley Foods Cooperative.
Mm-hmm.
For the longest time, it was just a privately owned small grocery store, just hanging on by a thread forever. You know, and maybe could use new lights, maybe could use a new floor, but people just put up with it and understood, like, a new floor would cost a lot of money here.
Right. You know, you're giving me my foods and supplies. So it doesn't matter what it looks like.
And I think to give some perspective, what's the official population of Lynch?
Oh, man.
Didn't they say like 150?
Yeah, it's probably under 200 now. And when I was growing up, it was always around 300, 350, 360.
So you're talking about a couple hundred people on the census, and this is a straight up grocery store.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going in to interview a gentleman who was involved in the relaunch, essentially, of this space and how to get it set up for, hopefully for the long run, for a small town, for a small area that has a couple hundred people in it, and then also a fair amount of tourist activity because of the Niobrara in the summer.
Right.
So they're trying to put a plan together to figure out, how do we have a grocery provider here for all the locals during the year and then for the folks who come in during the summer who are enjoying the river life?
Yeah. And I thought it was real interesting. I thought what David, the gentleman you're talking about there, brought up was kind of, to me, how I took it was the final dagger, the final blow was the flood of 2019 and all those donations that came in.
That was interesting.
Free
to
Gatorade,
me too.
Free toilet paper, free napkins, all the. And you can't compete with free.
So what you're referencing is that the grocery store, how it existed in its previous form, was really, really struggling, like any of these small businesses do in these 200 people towns.
Yep.
But the final straw was that flood.
Flood came.
For this particular grocery store, because now all of a sudden, all of the locals didn't need to go shop at the grocery store anymore, even though it was a national or a natural disaster.
Yeah.
They didn't need what the grocery store had to provide because everything was getting donated to them.
Yeah. And I'm pretty sure a few of those pallets of water and things like that, they had a tough time getting rid of them, you know, because
there was so much
coming in. And, you know, you love to see everyone helping each other out and these national organizations from Texas and Wisconsin just showing up and unloading all the. I mean, we got drywall from a company out of Norfolk to help my parents' basement out, you know. But there you go. I'm not going to buy drywall from the hardware store in town if I'm getting it for free from the supplier out of town.
It's just something you don't really think about. I mean, because you see all these floods and all this natural disaster and everyone, relief organizations that help, and we need that. But you don't think about the small businesses that then go under afterwards because of all the free.
Yeah, and it's crazy. By no means are we saying that folks shouldn't like
donate,
step up and donate.
Yeah, help.
It's just
or take it.
You have to think about the big picture. And so what would be fascinating?
I agree.
Yeah.
So what would be smarter? I mean, would it be smarter for the folks who want to donate to find the local organizations that already exist and then donate those folks? Time and money and effort,
right?
So that they can supply.
Yeah,
I don't know. I mean, it's something to think about.
And I thought about that for a while because that was one of my business classes that I remember in college, where a lot of these communities and startups in like villages in Africa couldn't get up off the ground because there are so many free donations coming from the Western world, from Europe and from the United States. It's like no matter how much crop this farmer's making in this village, he can't beat free. Right. All the free bags of rice coming into town from overseas.
Yeah.
So, you know, but then I actually had to, I don't know, live through it firsthand, like see it happen, which there's a lot of problems that were going on. Like you said, they were struggling anyway, so something had to happen.
Right.
And the people that were running the grocery store wanted to retire anyway, so maybe it was a blessing in disguise that it forced the issue.
Yeah, who knows,
you know what I mean?
So they just closed and then it was sitting empty for a little bit. And then that's when the town kind of needed.
Yeah. And I think did the town end up with it or did the town sell it to the organization? But
I don't remember that either, how it switched hands, but that it sat empty for a little bit. And I also think that time period in my head, when he was talking, he made it sound like the residents were like, whoa, we need something. They were missing it.
Well,
you don't really realize it's a good thing till it's gone.
Yeah. Well, what had happened is everyone ended up taking their moms or our grandmas to the next closest.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, then now you're killing an hour out of your day every other day. Like that's just not sustainable.
Mm-hmm.
But so the need for a small town market for a grocery store became apparent then.
Right.
And you just had some great people like David Barnes and so many others, the Nelsons up there, Mishonics, lend a hand, and everybody else. I can't name everybody, all 200 people.
I think the, the long story short of the Valley Food Cooperative was, David was originally from the area and had lived in Omaha for a long time, made a career and made a good life for himself, and decided, man, I want to go back home. And I want to be back in the area. So he does, and then he realizes there's a need for this, and he gets a group of people together. They decide the best way to go about this is a cooperative, which includes a ton of local folks all buying into this cooperative at a couple $100 a time or whatever the case may be.
Yep. Everyone had to buy shares.
Yeah. Right. And then, so essentially, it's this community coming together to put this grocery store together.
Yeah.
And we got to talk to him about all the details on that, how it works. While we're sitting there, I mean, it was Friday we were in there?
Yeah. Friday morning.
Friday morning.
It was a Friday morning.
9 a.m.
And just in the hour or two that we were there, there were six or eight people that came through.
Yep.
If you listen to the recording, you'll hear like they walk up to him. They're like, "Hey, what's he knows
like,
everybody by name."
Yeah. The bread man stopped by and gave us a bathroom.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's truly a small town America story.
Yeah.
That looks like it's something straight out of a movie or
and
something.
Like small town success. Yeah. I just keep thinking like success. It's so successful yet. Mm-hmm. That he said he's putting in 30 hours a week is like, oh my God, you're retired. But, he's people are donating their time. Yeah, mm-hmm. That's what I was going
to
get to.
Just to keep the wheels moving in the community.
Yep. Yep. And that's another thing you always talk about, ownership. Okay, now that I bought shares into this co-op and I'm donating my time, or my son or daughter works there, or helps unload on Thursdays or whatever it is. Well, now you kind of feel tied to it. If I'm going to go buy hamburger or a dozen eggs, I'm going to the co-op that I support.
Yep. Absolutely. You know what I mean? That you threw down a little bit of money and you feel
And then
legions too.
Exactly. Yeah. And then that goes back to that song we talked about a little bit. You know, Jason Aldean, try that in a small town. Mm-hmm. Imagine some hoodlums trying to mess with that.
Right.
You know, deface it or yeah. spray paint the pop machine out
yeah.
front.
Yeah.
I don't think so. Mm-hmm. I have shares in that, buddy.
Right. Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, you wouldn't be just some random person driving by and seeing that happening and going, oh, that sucks.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You'd be like,
or look away.
No, that's my grocery store.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Freaking on, buddy. Let's go.
Yeah.
You know? But yeah, super, super cool story. It was neat. I'm glad you set that up. Cool to hear where they've come from and where they're going.
Yeah.
And the place was no joke. I mean, it had
oh,
all of the things that
I told you, that's the best I've ever seen it look.
Yeah.
So clean.
Organized, bright, yeah. wide walkways now, kind of a modern look to mm-hmm. it a little bit, you know?
Yep, yep.
New fridges, freezers, like just...
By the way, to give people some perspective, when we went outside afterwards, you know, we were getting on our way. We're going to head to our next stop, whatever. And we needed ice for our cooler for all the stuff that we were going to be cooking that night up at the mm-hmm. at the camp. And they have an ice cooler, of mm-hmm. course. So I walk back in there. I'm like, hey, can I get a bag of ice? And he's like, yeah, no problem. They set me up. I pay for them. I walk around to the ice cooler and I look at the building. And the building has a face on it, you know, of like all these bricks and all this kind of stuff. It's a Quonset.
Yes.
So yeah. for anybody
Wait,
who doesn't.
What is that?
Yeah. So for anybody who doesn't know what a Quonset is.
I don't.
It's basically if you take a huge tube.
Okay.
So a big circular tube and you cut the thing in half and you put that half on the ground. So you have this arc of a
dome.
Building.
A dome. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's kind of, yeah, it would be like a dome except it's long.
Yeah.
So it's literally like a tube.
Yeah.
With a straight wall on the back and a straight wall on the front. That's yeah. what this is. This building is a old Quonset that has been in this town for a long
but
time.
But what would they have used that for?
It's a Corvette. I think Corvette's the brand name okay. of the okay. that building. But yeah, it's a metal half tube, like you're saying.
Yep.
Very simple build. Very efficient build. Very
mm-hmm.
strong.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I mean, those were basically built to store tractors and machinery mm-hmm. and you know.
Oh. Okay.
So that was another issue was climate control. Well, so that's why the outside has nice new insulation.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
that was something else that just came about.
Yeah, no, I just thought it was cool that, you know, that they made that thing work.
Yeah.
And they're dealing with what they have
mm-hmm.
and they're doing a really great job of it.
Yeah. I didn't know you didn't realize yeah. it was a Corvette.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
I did not.
We load up from there. As I said, we put all the ice in the cooler. We get on the road. We tour Lynch a little bit. You cruise us around, show us all the little spots. We meet a few people.
I mean, you blink and it's over.
Yeah, that's
yeah.
true.
Yeah. yeah.
The town pool your mom was at. Like,
yeah.
you're like, hi.
Oh, yeah. She's teaching all
she's teaching swim lessons.
Local kids how to swim, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's just what you would think. And then we rush back to his parents' house. To cook some lunch quick because we have
right.
that other
yep
we're
we
heading
did
to
lunch,
the other farm
and then
yeah.
Yeah and then where'd we head next
TNS Farms
yep
so that was a little bit outside of your town
yeah
Lynch.
That's our neighboring town 6 miles away Bristow they live south of
Bristow
a couple miles
okay
but yeah that's Tanner and Sherry Black high school sweethearts mm-hmm. like you guys right
yeah
and that was her grandparents's farm that they grew up on. So they moved back on the farm, took it over, and you could tell they're very entrepreneurial, I guess. You know, they had ideas and they have things that they like to do. So they thought, let's make this into a living.
A business, and, yeah. I kind of found it interesting that, well, I think that's probably what happens with a lot of people is they find something that they want or a need.
Mm-hmm.
And if you are entrepreneurial minded,
yeah.
then you're like, how do we scale this? And mm-hmm. that's kind of what she said. The milk,
yeah.
you know, the raw milk, they wanted it straight from their cow. They got one cow.
They
have a few more. You know what yeah. I mean? It's just you start slowly. You have a few chickens. Now you have like 400 chickens or something.
I thought it was funny where... Ashley was trying to talk to Tanner about it, and Tanner's like, oh, you don't just talk about raw milk. Like, there's yeah. a lot of parameters that go
yeah.
into it. But, yeah, it started so organically. Like, they just want it for their own
yeah.
family.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
And then the next guy's like, their neighbor's like, well, we'd like
what
some.
About me?
Yeah, we would take some of that. We'd pay for it, well, you know?
Yeah.
And now what are they, like, 7 or 8 cows? Or mm-hmm. maybe it was only like 4.
I think they had 7, she said.
Yeah. I mean, and I just thought the hatchery was really cool.
Me too.
I thought they had that set up so well.
For sure. And I think to paint that picture, you know, part of what we didn't talk about on the episode itself is, so we make the drive out there. You know, you're driving again through like some of these hills. It's cool,
mm-hmm.
very cool, picturesque area, you know, and you just keep driving and you end up at their farm. And it's what I would expect of like a typical farmstead. Yep. You know, you have a cool looking old school farmhouse.
Yep.
You know, you've got some grain silos, you've got some old equipment sitting around, you got some old trucks sitting around, you got
you got dogs barking,
the dogs chickens are, the dogs are running around, the chickens are running around.
What were those other birds that they had flying around?
Guineas.
Okay.
Those things were hollering when we got out of the truck.
Because they were laying eggs or something, the kids said. The kids were running around barefoot on like rock. And I was like, dang, okay, they know how to do this. Like, I don't know, it just was so refreshing to see.
It was a Rockwell painting, you know. A farmstead.
Totally.
And I think what people need to understand to give some perspective is like, it's that you go to one of these places and it's not like, you know, you mentioned a painting, but what I'm talking about is like, it's not like everything's just perfect and absolutely beautiful.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, this is a working farm.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of stuff going on that you look at and you see and you're whatever and you're like, oh, you know, that looks like a mess over there.
Mm-hmm.
Or this, you know, oh man, I'm not sure that I wanted to see a dead chicken.
Yeah.
You know, or whatever. Like someone might think that. Like for me personally, it's not a big deal because we're around it.
Yeah, yeah.
But people have to realize like this is how working farms operate.
Exactly.
And that was what we experienced. We experienced beginning to end how this working farm operates.
And they were still in the middle, I feel, of converting it from, you know, the cattle ranch that her grandfather had into the working ranch that they're trying to build. And I'm so happy for them as far as how they're already on their feet. They're already kind of running. And to me, it seems like the demand is just rising and rising for the raw milk, for the eggs, her kitchen.
Yes, pretty cool. We need to add the kitchen and the meals she preps. That's crazy. I mean, what a great idea.
That was fascinating to me, too, because
I mean, you and your cooking, that I could see that you were like perking up.
I like to cook, you know, so I like to be around that stuff. And she has all the cool tools.
Yeah.
And, you know, and she's literally, or they literally, are putting together meals for the community every week.
Yeah.
And people are coming over there and purchasing these meals from them at extremely affordable price and getting a very good meal.
Oh, my God. Yeah. When you read the menu, we were like,
And I was like, and I was asking her, I'm like, so are you like some kind of culinary trained? Have you been to school for this or whatever? And she's like, no, I just spent a lot of time with my grandma.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm like, totally makes sense.
That's him.
Yeah. That is the best education you could ever have.
Yeah, better than any schooling.
A lot of Sunday afternoons in the kitchen with my grandma.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And I asked her about that. And that, I think that's definitely what had sparked her inspiration more than anything, was just her love for being in the kitchen with her grandma when she was little, you know, and I don't know, you can't get better than that.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, no.
It's a good, you guys, if you haven't listened to any of these that we're talking about podcasts, you got to go listen if you somehow skipped ahead. But yeah, this such good people too.
Mm-hmm.
And their kids, Ashley got to spend some time with them.
They're go-getters, aren't they?
So
we were recording in their kitchen.
So we go in their kitchen. They're in a 100-ish-year-old farmhouse that they've added on to.
Mm-hmm.
And we're sitting in the dining room area that they had added. Cool big kitchen table. We're all set up. We're recording. There's the three of us and then them two. Yep. And Ashley came. They have three kids. So as you can imagine, like that's hard to record when there's three kids running around.
Kids. Yeah.
And the youngest was two, right?
Yeah.
So Ashley's like, oh yeah, I'll take care of them. So she goes outside on the farm.
It's bloody hot. Guys, we're talking like 90. It was pretty warm.
So she runs around with them for like an hour.
Yeah.
And then she
kept them moving too. I mean, the kids kept her moving.
I asked her afterwards, I was like, so what all did you do? She's like, we went a few places, and then I told him I was just going to sit in the shade under this tree, and they sat with me. I was laughing because it was so hot.
We
came out of the chickens.
When we got done, we came out of the house. Well, actually, we talked about the milk. They're doing raw milk.
We had a tasting.
We have a drink of milk, Which was pretty awesome. And then we go outside and we're like, okay, well, we need to find everybody. We can't find them.
No.
We're hunting around. We're yelling.
Like, where is everybody?
She's like hiding between like the silos.
They wore
and
her
this
out.
Outbuilding. And she's just like dead hot. Such yeah. a trooper.
Yeah. They wore her out. Yeah.
Yeah. That was pretty fun.
Well, they had another chicken coop that we didn't see that the kids took her to.
Okay.
Oh, that's right.
And that's where that Pyrenees dog that's kind of protective.
Yeah, it was guarding them, yeah.
Yeah, it was guarding them, yeah.
So, so they were running like 400 chickens or something like that. I can't remember what the number was, but providing eggs for...
We need to set up our egg drop thingy like that.
I think they're providing for a hospital, two grocery stores, and a high school.
And that was another thing that kind of came full circle. We had interviewed the grocery store prior to...
Mm-hmm.
Their eggs are in that grocery store.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
So they're providing for the local community. I mean, they're just doing a lot of... special stuff.
And think about how much better those eggs are nutritionally for that local high school compared to the eggs at, you know, maybe a high school around Omaha or St. Louis or whatever, they're getting.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, there's something to that.
Yeah, it's different. Can't compete.
I mean, no matter what anybody thinks, it's different.
It is.
It just flat out is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those chickens, they do their thing. They're extremely well taken care of. They, you know, they have their coop, but they get let out. Like we were there, they opened the gate and let them out, and they're just running the farm.
Man. And I was shocked. A lot of them didn't come out. I'm like, why are they not coming out? She's like, I don't know. They just do what they want. I'm like, what? Okay. Why would you not just want to roam around?
That's some just of them what just... they want to do. Yeah. Yeah. And the dogs are hanging out. The dogs are like, yeah, whatever. There's a bunch of chickens around here.
Our dogs, on the other hand, would be attacking.
Yeah.
Well, now that one hen had little chicks with her, and she's like, yeah, I guess she laid her eggs outside the coop one day, and we didn't know it, and now we have little baby chicks.
Yeah. I missed that. Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, like, chirp, chirp, chirp.
So then before we left, we went down to their commercial kitchen area, purchased a couple of their goods.
What'd you get? Oh, God, Andy wouldn't stop talking about ice cream. Oh, he got his ice cream. Yeah. Fresh ice cream. What kinds were they?
That ice cream was in jeopardy there, because I got home, and... Dad, that's his ritual. He eats ice cream before for his treat before he goes to bed.
Uh-huh.
And he saw it. He goes, "Ooh, what's this?" I'm like, "Oh no!"
Oh, you're like, "No, Dad, this is not for me staying at your house."
But let's see. I think I got cherry nut and cookies and cream. I think.
Okay.
Was the two. Or no, I got mint chip. That's what it was. Green.
And that was all made
by hand, in-house. Churned right
from
there.
Their milk.
Yep.
Yeah.
I remember their family. That's one of the things they do. And I remember being really little, and she would come over to our daycare. Their grandma or their grandmother-in-law, whatever, would come over and make ice cream, and it was just the best stuff ever.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and would let us mix it and stuff like that.
Huh.
And I knew it was going to taste like that, and it did.
Pretty cool.
Nice.
Pretty
brought cool. back good memories.
Yeah.
Yeah, well,
what did we do after
fun.
That? I think we just chilled.
So then after that, we headed out. You and I went.
Oh, yeah. We separated from.
So we got on the road. We headed to.
Monowai.
Lewis and Clark. We passed Monowai. So we were coming up on Monowai.
Which,
and
tell
for
people
folks
what
who
that
don't
is.
Understand, we've talked about Monowai in the past, but people might not have heard. It's a town of one. It's Nebraska's smallest town.
Yep.
So we come up on the sign. It says Monowai. I'm like, we have to stop.
And I kind of didn't want to stop. I was over it. Like, I was getting yawning. We had already drank.
So
we
stop.
Halfway through the day.
We stop. We go in.
He's
we
like,
see.
We're stopping.
It's Elsie, right?
Yes.
Yes.
We stop and see Elsie. Yeah.
I'm glad we did.
We belly up to the bar. We get a couple of drinks. There's some locals in there. Like you said, like we talked about earlier, you know, you walk in these bars, everyone turns around, who are these freaking
straight
guys? You know,
staring. Yeah.
But that place is a little bit more used to it because they get a lot of tourist activity.
They do.
But we end up talking to a few of those guys there, end up finding out, like, one guy who's sitting at one of the tables is somebody you went to school with.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everyone starts connecting the dots, whatever. But we have a drink, hang out there for a half an hour, get back on the road, and then we go and stay in a cabin at the Lewis and Clark Lake. At the state park, which is where the dam race is going to be held the next morning. So we stay there that night. We throw up our cooker. We cook some steaks, some chicken, some vegetables. Mm. We get a nice little triathlete meal in.
Here we go.
The night before.
Yeah.
My buddy Morgan's brother-in-law comes up because he's going to compete as well. He stays there with us. And then the next morning, we go hit the Hit the triathlon and meet you guys.
And that was a lot of fun. I mean, that was a heck of a fun day in itself, too.
It was.
Oh, my gosh. So,
yeah.
That was.
So we
I mean, we get that. We got there early. I mean, they did the national anthem for the race, like, all this stuff.
Seven-ish.
Yeah.
Yeah, we go down there.
Andy wasn't late for that one, though.
I beat you guys.
Yeah, you did. Yeah.
He did.
Andy's the coach. I do the first leg, which is the kayaking.
Yeah, crash.
Yeah, I crash. Yeah.
Well, some guys, I have a video.
So they launched. This they did. I think they did like
him off 12. Oh,
here we go. Here we go.
Yeah, you right? saw yeah. it.
They do like. It was bad. They do like 12 heats or whatever. Yeah. Right. That's what you'd call it. And it's like 10 to 15 boats at a time. So everyone gets pushed off at the same time. So this dude next to me, he gets a hard push, and he's out in front of me, but he must be just like paddling on one side, so he completely goes sideways right in front of me. I T-bone him, and so then we're like, I'm like trying to push out of the way. I'm like, come on, dude. So then he gets out of the way. By then, we're way in the back, and then we get going out to make our way out into the lake.
Yeah.
We're coming off the beach, and he can't figure out how to make this thing go straight, so he turns again back in front of me again. I have to continue to keep stopping this kayak.
Spence said this happened like 5 times.
Eventually, I get around this guy.
God.
And I'm just like balls to the wall at that point. I'm like, I'm just going. I got to leave this dude behind. Mm-hmm. And then I run into a second lady who's doing the same thing. I get around her. But at that point, like in my heat, there was probably 15 people. And I'm like third or fourth from the last.
Right.
But whatever. It was still fun.
Yeah. It was still fun. And you had a personal best, Morgan, with your run?
Or, I mean...
Are you right there?
Yeah, I don't know. I guess I haven't ever really done a 5K.
I beach the kayak. I go running to where you are.
And there's like a...
I hand off the sensor.
Sensor. Yep.
Mm-hmm. And then Morgan goes running.
Yep, I had to run 3 miles. Start cramping on mile like 1.5, which not even... It was just weird. This weird cramp I never feel in my calf. So that kind of was annoying. And my brother-in-law is quick, and he came out before you, but not much before. And I was like, oh, I have him in my sights. And I could have him in my sights for a while. And then I lost him, and I was like, well, you know, screw it. He's going. And so then mile 2 was a little bit slower, and then mile 3 was like my quickest ever. So, you know, it was like 8:14 or something. Mm-hmm. So it was real quick. But then hand it off, run back in, and give Ashley the ankle bracelet. And she gets to truck 12 miles on a bike.
Yeah.
And the win.
Oh, my God. Yeah. And it was like the worst combination. And that's typical for Nebraska. We got this prevailing south wind coming out of the Gulf, you know, of Mexico. And it's a hot wind. You know, it brings summer. And it was just blowing in her face the whole way. The longest trek is a straight shot, you know, once you get on the highway there into Crofton.
Yeah.
And she was like, man, it was blowing so hard. I had to pedal downhill. She goes, I knew I was in trouble when I had to pedal downhill.
Really? Yeah. So after she got on the bike, just so everyone knows, we're back there. We grab all of our stuff and then walk to our car, get in the car, and then drive to where she's going to end. Yeah, so it's in the town of Crofton. So we drive basically 12 miles, what she is biking, but kind of an off path, so we're not driving right next to them.
Yes, we get to town. We get to the finish line. The people who compete all get drink tickets, and you get a custom Bloody Mary.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it was so good. It was a little spicy.
We go get our Bloody Mary, and there was who was the local beer company?
They're out of Hardington, and they just changed hands, and they just changed name, but they were awesome too. They donated 2 or 3 kegs.
Yeah, so it was free, free beers.
Yeah, so I mean, they were giving out, what, those 6 ounce or 8 ounce cups, but that's okay. I'll just go back and get another 8 ounce cup. That's fine.
Right, exactly. You know, we'll try it again. Yeah, they had 2 kinds, so we tried them both.
And is it Big Hair?
Big Hair? I don't know.
I don't remember. I don't know about sign. That.
But it was a new brewery out of Hardington.
Okay.
And I think it's the only brewery out of Hardington, Nebraska, not too far away from Crofton. But yeah, they said that was their first, you know, outreach kind of deal, and donating the kegs. So They said it went really well, and I thought their beer was fantastic.
Well, we're just standing there, and I kind of had this gut feeling like, ooh, I don't want to miss my brother-in-law cross the finish because he's freaking pro and speedy. I text my sister, and I'm like, hey, where is Matt at compared to where I am on Live 360? And she's like, oh, my God, he's like, really close. I'm like, oh, my God, we got to go outside. So luckily we didn't miss him finish.
Yeah.
But he ended up getting fourth in his men's.
Yeah. I mean,
that was huge. And then, we had some time and we were drinking and hanging out, and they had these nice tents, and you know what I mean? Like, it was a good atmosphere afterwards.
And, you know, Heidi talked about that, but what a well-organized event, you know, from start to finish. And man, you're directing so many people. What'd they say? Like, was it 300?
God, I thought he did say something close
like
that, to that.
Yeah. You know, you know, you're trying to funnel all the people around the finish line there and into the museum, the pulley museum.
The pulley museum, yeah.
That's a cool place too. But I just, you know, hats off to Heidi Marsh and her team there with the Crofton Dam race, because I thought they did a really good job.
I agree.
You could tell that they've done that before.
And then Ashley came rolling in, and man, she was ready for a drink and food. We had really good, it just seemed like homemade, yummy food.
Yeah,
that was good. I mean, it just wasn't like nasty. It was like...
No, but it was chicken.
Yes, and but this yummy pasta salad. And I mean, all the things were very well thought through, not just a catering company that...
It wasn't a gut bomb.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't some hot... You know, pulled pork sandwich you're not ready for a pulled pork sandwich.
Not to interrupt, was it Hard Patch?
I like that.
I think that's what it was.
That. Yeah, we'll go with that.
It was Hard Patch. It says, so I was just looking some stuff up because I want to give them a shout out because they did an awesome job. But it says Hard Patch was formerly the Big Hair.
There you go.
Oh, so there you go.
Yeah,
okay.
Big Hair was the original. Yeah,
so Hard Patch, that was just a local or a... looked like a, you know, kind of a mom and pop brewery, a couple of young folks that had donated a couple of kegs, and so we got those beers and we got the Bloody Marys.
And I think the one I really liked was like an apricot.
Ooh.
It was in an apricot.
I got one
brew.
That was lighter. Yeah.
They had two kinds there. Yeah, one was a little darker and one was a little lighter, but no, those with that spicy Bloody Mary, that was a perfect beer backer for all my Minnesotans out there. A good old beer backer.
Beer backer? What's that?
Chaser.
Oh, yeah. That's what they say?
Yeah,
not a chaser? They say beer backer?
When you buy a Bloody Mary in Minnesota, it is customary to get a beer backer with it. Like, it just comes with a beer backer, and that's a little beer.
Because you just...
That's what you do.
You
drink your Bloody Mary, and then you have your little beer beside it.
Because sometimes you need to put that beer in.
Yes.
The Bloody.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and that one had, like you said, a little bite to it.
That was a little spice.
A little bite to it. So what do you say? Are we going to sign up again next year?
Yeah.
Are we expanding? We talked about that. I think.
What do you mean expanding?
Well, let's have two Common Folk teams.
Oh,
maybe
three. We could do that.
My younger brother is getting a little bit more into personal fitness. He's into kayaking and he does a little running now. So I bet I could recruit him.
We could have more than one team. Let's do it.
Yeah,
I think we
could
totally do it.
You know, and I could still coach. You know, then that's okay.
Well, or maybe you could kayak. And your brother could run if he's a runner.
Yeah.
Actually, and then Ben and I would just need a biker.
Yeah, I would like that. I thought the kayaking looked fantastic because it was already a hot morning, but then to get on that cool water.
How'd your arms feel?
Well,
were they jello?
The event itself was awesome. I mean, that's the first time, honestly, I've ever kayaked. So I didn't.
You have been in a kayak before.
No, I haven't.
Yes,
I didn't,
you have.
I didn't prep for it.
Gosh.
So I'm just going. Like, I'm probably using two or three times more energy than I should use because I don't really know what I'm doing. And then when I got to the end and you come up on the beach, then you have to like lift yourself out of that thing. And my arms were just like, I couldn't barely get out. Yeah.
You had to be pulled out.
Yeah.
I wish I could have seen that. I was in the holding zone ready to run.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, it was fun though.
No, we'll definitely have to do that again.
Anybody who's listening, if you're anywhere close to that area, and they had folks from all over the U.S.
She said nine states, or I think her husband did when we talked to him. So they had a lot of people coming.
Yeah, so there people definitely traveled in for it, but it's just a fun event, man.
Yeah, it really is. Mm-hmm. And you don't need to be a professional runner or biker.
Not at all.
Heidi kind of alluded to that, but no. And we saw, you know, a lot of people that were participating. They just looked like normal people, right? They didn't have fancy biking clothing or any of that type of stuff. No, it's just a fun thing to do.
And we, so we were competing, in air quotes, as a team. Mm-hmm. And we did pretty good. So it's 2024 right now, right? Mm-hmm. So this was the 2024 dam race. We walked away from there with 2023 medals.
Yes, we did.
So that tells you how good we did.
Yeah, yeah.
That's really good.
Were we living in the past? Is that what happened?
Basically, that was a thanks for coming. We really wish we could have given you something, but
but here's leftovers.
You know, I was even wearing the jorts, right? She kept talking about the jorts award, and they gave it to a gal who's had issues and this and that.
Andy was like, "Whoa, bro!
Come on now!" But yeah, no, I was happy to see it went to somebody.
Yeah, it should be.
I was impressed with some of the, you know, 65 plus participants.
The age bracket? Yeah it was like, man. Yeah, was it 65 plus or 70?
There were some 70-year-olds.
Yeah, like 75-year-old that was like, it was great. Killing it.
And they did all three. Like, yes. They didn't,
individual.
You know, yeah.
They ain't doing no team. They ain't a third triathlete. They are a triathlete.
Yeah, they're triathletes. I like the team. I like team aspect.
So yeah, man, overall it was a fun weekend, well worth the trip. Got a lot of cool content, got to talk to a lot of cool people. Hopefully everyone
enjoyed it. I think we need to do that again, like other places.
Yeah. That's what I was thinking.
Nail out different things.
I think it kind of gave us maybe a blueprint on, okay, now if we're going to go to somewhere in Iowa, how do we, you know, space it out? Mm-hmm. What's a good medley of different things to go to? Because I thought that was a good balance.
Do we always have to have like a athletic event in it? Probably. That'd make you feel better.
If anybody,
make me feel better.
I guess, yeah. If anybody has any suggestions,
yeah,
you know, let us know.
Like if your town is doing something cool, is that what you're saying?
Get on, so you can go on, you know, Instagram to Common Folk Podcast, social media. You can comment there. You can send us messages. You can comment on the YouTube videos that we're going to have out with these, not videos necessarily, but recordings, because that's where you get all your YouTube podcasts now. You can comment on that. Yep. Let us know. What do you got going on?
Because, I mean, in 2.5 days, we knocked out 4 wildly different stories, but all taking place in small, very small communities. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I thought they were so diverse, but all, to me, very interesting.
Agree. Yep.
So,
and for us, you know, one of the things that we've always done, and I'm not going to say that we may not ever stray from this if we have to, but what the goal has always been is to talk to people face to face. So as opposed to getting someone on the phone and doing a recording over the phone or whatever, I don't like them.
Yeah.
I don't want to do it. I might get convinced someday that it might be, maybe it's worth something if it's some kind of special scenario, but any chance that we get, that we can get face-to-face with somebody, whether it's at their place or at our place, that's what we're going to try to pull off. So, as I said, I mean, you got any suggestions, let us know. Let's go see people.
Yeah. I'm interested to kind of see if we get some feedback on that. Yeah. You know, I'm down.
That'd be good. I'd like it.
For sure. So,
well, I think that was a good recap.
Yeah, that pretty much wraps it up.
Or behind the scenes, not a recap.
Something.
There were some details in there.
Yeah.
I mean, no one knew about the 2 toilets in the women's bathroom if we wouldn't have talked about it.
Yeah, it was a little weird.
And that's all right, that.
Folks. Yeah. Well, don't forget to go to farmfocused.com. Check out all the merch. We got a lot of really cool new stuff. Check out the Watson gloves.
I was going to say, you saw firsthand some of the barbed wire fence that those got put to work on. Yep.
You will not be disappointed by those, I guarantee it. And if you use the code COMMONFOLK, you get 20% off at checkout.
I love it.
So check it out.
Mm-hmm.
Do the ordering. Do the things.
Do the things, please.
All right. What else? You guys good?
Good.
Good.
Peace.
All right, let's shut it down.